All the military services and defense agencies are relying on huge enterprise resource planning systems to meet the auditability milestones they've been charged with achieving in 2014 and 2017. DOD and the Government Accountability Office have concluded the ERPs are the only way to centralize and track the vast quantities of logistics, financial, and pay and personnel data DOD has in a way that will satisfy outside auditors. In the Air Force's case, there are two primary ERPs under development. The Enterprise Combat Support System has been the most troublesome. The vision was to create a single system to track transportation, supply, maintenance, engineering, and acquisition information. Dr. Jamie Morin, the Air Force comptroller, says it hasn't worked out that way.
You know, we are now approaching 7 years since funds were first expended for this system. The total cost on the system is now over $1 billion. I'm personally appalled at the limited capabilities that program has produced relative to that amount of investment. And that's why the fact that I and the rest of the senior Air Force leadership feel that way, that's why we're restructuring, looking for an alternative path. The restructuring effort is ongoing right now, but the committee and the Congress should expect to see a way forward identified in the next month or so. And we owe you a clear and concise description of a much better way forward for our logistics modernization and financial improvement.
Morin speaking this week at a hearing of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. The lackluster performance of ECSS is one reason the Air Force is behind the rest of the military services in the effort to get in shape for an auditable statement of budgetary resources by 2014 and a full financial audit by 2017. The service has already said it will have to rely on legacy systems and a lot of manual labor in order to meet that target, and Morin says they're at moderate risk for missing the 2014 deadline. But it's by no means the first instance of a failed ERP program in DOD. The most famous example might be the Defense Integrated Human Management Resources System, or DIMRS. The Pentagon spent 12 years and $1 billion building it before giving up on the effort in 2010. And Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill says there are plenty of other examples. She says just the money wasted on DOD ERPs makes the recent GSA conference scandal look like small potatoes.
If I look at all the 11 ERP programs, we now cumulatively are $6 billion over budget and 31 years behind schedule. Now, that's a problem.
The Army has had struggles with managing enterprise information as well. It's already rolled out its ERP for financial information, GFEBS, to several locations, and it's gotten positive audit results. But it's still struggling with pay and personnel information. GAO recently found the Army has no reliable way to even count the total number of soldiers on active duty at any one time. It's a problem the Army doesn't dispute. And Colonel Robert McVeigh told a recent FOSSE conference that it's not just a financial management problem, it's an operational problem.
If I woke up tomorrow morning as a brigade commander of a brigade of about 4,000 soldiers and said to my S1, my personnel specialist, and I said, "Tell me how many soldiers I have in this brigade today," he'd say, "Wait a minute, sir." And he'd go to his system and he'd log in and he'd look up the number of officers enlisted I had on the active. And then he'd turn to the guard LNO, say, "How many officers enlisted do I have?" And then he'd turn to the reserve LNO, "How many officers enlisted do I have?" Each of them would generate him an Excel spreadsheet. He'd dump it all together if he knows what he's doing. He'd spin it into a pivot table and he'd say, "Sir, with an accuracy of maybe 500, you have this many soldiers in your unit today." It's within 3% plus or minus. That may be great for Gallup, but 3% of 100,000 soldiers is 3,500 soldiers. And there is no corps commander in his right mind that's going to accept that. Oh, by the way, there's one other issue. Congress doesn't like the fact that we can't tell them how many soldiers we pay every year.
McVeigh is the program manager of the Army ERP that's designed to solve that problem. IPS-A is supposed to integrate the pay and personnel systems of the active, guard, and reserve components of the Army. The Army awarded a contract for the first increment of that system in February. The Navy has decided not to continue pursuing a new ERP for pay and personnel. Instead, it'll focus on improving its business processes around its existing systems. And it's already started deploying its primary ERP, called, simply enough, Navy ERP. Robert Work is the Undersecretary of the Navy.
Reengineering of our business processes is the key. Our business process reform approach is now mature to the point where we address the full spectrum of business operations by focusing on three things: strategic management, understanding the costs of doing business, and managing the organization towards achieving better and more measurable results. Our methodology requires baselining and mapping business processes, allowing the business owners across the department to identify and prioritize their problems, and then exploiting opportunities for improvement. A second key is data standardization, and a third is having good internal controls. We are focused on all three of these things. Auditable financial statements will be the outcome of these efforts.
The Navy Department is shooting to have its statement of budgetary resources auditable in 2013, a year before the current DoD deadline. Officials say they're almost ready to declare audit readiness for the Marine Corps. They're optimistic it could still happen this year. The ERP work the Navy has already done has led to the shutdown of 1,400 of the systems and applications it used to use for financial management. It shut down 400 networks as well. And the other military departments have managed to shut down a lot of their legacy systems, too. Mary Mattiella is the Army Comptroller.
To date, for example, with GFIBS, we've shut down 80 systems so far. But in the long run, our goal is to shut down 700 systems.
The Air Force had initially planned to cut off 240 legacy systems with its ECSS approach, but with that program in limbo now, the legacy systems are going to have to do the job, at least in the short term. McCaskill wonders whether the cost of implementing the manual workarounds it will take to make those legacy systems work together over the short term is worth the cost.
I need a yes or no about whether or not you believe you're envisioning a manual workaround for a one-time fix to get to the 2014. You know, can you make any representations today on the record that you will avoid a manual workaround, that you would be more willing to say we can't do it than do a manual workaround that's very expensive and doesn't solve any long-term problem?
Morin says even though some of the Air Force systems date back to the Vietnam War, they won't have to deploy an army of auditors to get the audit results they need. And Bob Hale, the DoD comptroller, says even if it does cost more money to meet the short-term 2014 goal with manual processes, relaxing the deadline would do more harm than good.
I would argue strongly we need the pressure that's generated by the 2014 deadline. We need to pressurize a huge organization. It's like turning an aircraft carrier. We got to get this organization moving, and I think this shorter deadline has done it. So if it drives us to some modest manual workarounds, so be it. I think we'll get to the end game more quickly and save money sooner. But I believe there are some qualitative benefits to the earlier goal that are significant.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.